3, 2, 1.
Welcome, everybody, to the Marquee Matchup Week 10 Recap, live from the Jazz House. We have an amazing panel here this evening, sitting directly to my left, representing one of my favorite KVKL franchises, definitely not because of Seth, LD Lindsay Dieter.
Definitely one of the oldest with our aggregate ages, that's for sure.
Up there with the lion?
Yeah.
Right on the tail. Uh-huh. Okay.
In the middle of the panel here on stage tonight, representing another fantastic franchise, regardless of their sponsor.
Hello.
Kelly Schmick.
Hello. Bear with me, y'all.
And the last of our panelists this evening, representing Arbar, the co-captain, Amber Sidwell.
Hi.
Of course, at the end of the line, we've got Cubby, who still hasn't done his homework.
No, I have not watched Sausage Party yet because I don't have a Netflix pass.
He's waited so long to watch the movie, they've made a TV series now.
It's true, they have made a TV series. By the way, Olympics in 3 days. Can't wait for it. Well, yep, so stoked.
So without any further ado, we're going to jump right into the matchups from our marquee matchup week. Before we do that, though, I don't want to short sell our fantastic charity that we've chosen this year.
Absolutely.
The Douglas County Special Olympics. We've got the rest of the tournament and then a few extra weeks this year to get some awesome gift baskets in. Highly encourage anyone to donate anything. Do some spring cleaning. Check out some cool stuff you've got in your garage, your crawl space, or in Cougar's defense, maybe your parents' bedroom.
What?
Yeah. Anything to raise money and as much money as possible. Like I said, $25,000 is the goal. I want to blow it out of the water. So this is the year to do it. YSC 1 at 5 p.m., the Harpies 19, the Midnight Tokers 4. Extensive notes on this game. The Harpies, Cat, nice kick to Rover in the top of the second. Andre, bomb in the top of two for an RKI. Max, caught in a little pickle in the top of the third. Ellen, nice kick to Rover in the top of the fourth for an RKI. Another bomb by Andre in the fourth for a 2 RKI triple. Grant, not a fan of Thomas's pants. Claire's tattoos are badass. Classic Grant. Whole dugout says stay. Runs anyway. Fortunately safe at home for a 2-run home run in the top of the sixth. Bailey burned left field for an RKI double in the top of the eighth. Top of eight. Grant another home run with probably ill-advised base running. Tokers. Lasker triple to start the bottom of two. Glenn drives Lesker home with a gorgeous gapper to second. Jaden bombed to deep left. Home run, bottom of the second. Jackson is very good at third base. Kinzer, nice kick behind Rover in the bottom of the fifth. Nice overhead catch in left field in the top of the sixth. Aggressive base running by Lasker in the bottom of the seventh to get Tokes back on the board again. The score doesn't reflect it, but watch out for the Tokers in the tournament. They're going to make some noise for sure.
I hope they do, because I got a little bit of news, a little breaking news, and I feel bad having to bring this out. And he didn't want to make it the focus of the podcast. You know, Jackson Wack, the third baseman, he's out for the season, pulled hamstring.
I thought you were going to say he's coming back to the team, man.
No, I love him. No. So, good luck to the Tokers without Jackson, but good luck. So, yeah. Go ahead, Bryson.
Yeah, my only note was I looked over at that field one time, and it was when that home run in the bottom of the second happened. And then I found out later it was 19-4, and I was like, what the? Like, I mean, you see that happen in the bottom of the second inning, you think game on, like this is going to be a good game, and then they ended up getting murdered afterwards. I just wanted to shout out, like, you know, I think there's lots of ref talk this year, You know, everyone has opinions, but Cat Dick missed home plate by about 15 feet at one point in that game. I don't know if you've seen that clip. If you haven't, you should go look. I mean, that is probably the most that's probably worse than the Free State foul kick that Trey missed.
Really?
Dude, Cougar, I'm telling you, that's home plate. This is Cat Dick. Like, I'm not 15 feet.
15?
Yeah, she was, like, at the fence, man. Honestly, you won't believe it when you see it. But nonetheless, I thought it was funny. Like, at the end of the day, it didn't matter. They won the game. They blew him out or whatever. But just thought that was very funny and something. If you haven't watched that game, you should go watch it. It's, like, the two-minute mark.
I certainly will be. I'm happy to hear that's going to take some of the heat off Aaron.
I think the sentence, Max caught in a pickle, is probably the most Max-coded thing I've ever heard. Because, like, I just feel like Max is in pickles a lot of the time with his kicks and his teammates' kicks.
Yeah, and I mean, that is a real bummer, having played the Tokers and having to rank them coming into the season at 36, not knowing what they're bringing to the table, other than, you know, the sample sizes we have from City League, which is, you know, unfair to compare to KVKL. I think I picked them as, outside of ourselves, one of the biggest movers for the year. And it's really unfortunate to see the groove that they got into and hearing that Jackson's going to be out for the tournament, because one person doesn't make a team, but your starting third baseman, who's the anchor of your kicking lineup, is going to cause some problems. So I really hope that they're able to adjust around that, maybe make some noise in those first two rounds, maybe make a run at the plate.
Well, I was going to say that I ref their game the only week that Jackson was out, second week, against the Scoonies. And they needed 7 runs at the bottom of 8, down 6-3 to beat them 10-6. Yeah. So they are a different team without Jackson. Not saying they can't make any noise without Jackson, but the one small sample size, it was a big, big difference.
I mean, it's clear that they can kick the ball.
Oh,
there's triple, home run, beating left field. I mean, those are...
They've got great kickers from the top to the bottom of their lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, the Harpies, I mean, there's some experience there. That's an impressive defensive team for sure. So 4 runs, I'm sure, doesn't quite do them justice there.
Yeah, and I think, you know, going into that game, I thought it was going to be a pretty good matchup. Out of the two that could have went back or forth, like our matchup with the D-holes, which we'll get to much later, that, in my opinion, those were going to be two of the best games of the week, because I thought it'd be a real good litmus for both teams to see where they're at heading into the tournament. And I did not see a 16-point blowout coming.
Yeah, that is surprising.
No.
I think that was my biggest takeaway from the game, is that knowing how good their kickers are, and even though the Harpies are who we know they are, only putting up 4 runs with that type of offense, that was shocking to me.
Yeah.
YSC 1 at 7 p.m., Taco Zone 12, Lawrence Shirt Factory 6. Janae and Angela had some great catches. Both set the ball and then caught it. Lots of close calls. Great game.
Cougar, that is definitely from the Taco Zone, huh? The notes?
No, the notes would be whoever ref their game, so they'd swap out. Probably...
Ringer's an asteroid head.
Okay, there you go.
I personally was shocked that Taco Zone beat them by 6 points. I did watch this game. I watched this game at dinner, actually. And, Shirt Factory, they couldn't get balls down.
I think it was the first inning. I mean,
I was over the first inning
situation. And I think they might have only had 1 or 2 at the time when there was a kick to first base that, you know, I think baseball scores would rule as an error, E1 or whatever the fuck.
E3.
And then it just kind of exploded from there, because it's like, it was that point in the lineup where it's like, hey, you know, there's a small weak spot in the KTC lineup, so you need to get this out. They didn't get the out, and then it just fucking poured on from there, which was, it was unfortunate. I very much enjoyed watching Aaron Chinhall's physical meltdown.
Aaron was so angry. Aaron, I know you're listening to this. I
love you, Aaron.
Man.
Oh, boy.
But, yeah, no, Shirt Factory's good, man. I mean, like, I think what you can say about that team, different than ever, is that they're young now. I mean, you got, like, 5 or 6 of them that are in their, like, core lineup that are young. Yep. And you got to – there's playing a long time. There's playing against the top teams for a long time. And I think for them, like, you know, you just got to play those games over and over again, and I'm sure they'd love that first inning back because that literally ended up being the difference.
Yeah, and, you know, like you said, the first inning, putting up, giving up six runs to Taco Zone, they're going to play, and I stand by this, they always have played to whatever their opponent's abilities are. And if you give them a lead, it's not something that is going to be easily reclaimed or even come back from. So not being able to put any runs up for Shirt Factory until I think it was the third. Yeah, until the third inning, you know, getting those four runs back. But already, which is crazy to say it out loud, but when you're down 6-0, you're not getting on the board until the third against Taco Zone. It's almost already too late.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they set the tone early, and with not being able to get anybody on base, there's just no coming back from that.
Yeah. And it's so hard when you have younger players, too. You know, that's one of the big things I think experience teaches you is not to get down on yourself and to just go out there and start the inning fresh. But when you're younger, it's really hard. You're really competitive. You want to win, and it's hard to come back from that.
YSC2 at 5 p.m. Asteroid Head 18, Ringers 13. Nice triple volley catch by the Ringers shortstop in the top of the eighth.
I got this. I ref the game, and it was a really fun game to ref. The teams were evenly matched, and they just went back and forth and back and forth, and they were both trying as hard as they could. And I think it was just the team that made the most errors lost, as often happens, you know. But they were really evenly matched, and it was completely mellow and fun and the kind of thing that makes you really happy to be playing kickball.
Man, those four different fields at 5 o'clock were so hard to decide which game you wanted to watch. I was just kind of walking in circles, and I didn't get to watch as much as that I would have wanted. But I'm sure that it was a great game, and a lot of runs scored, so that's always fun.
The Astro have, I still have a full team.
They split kick two people.
Oh,
They kicked 10.
Because I was there when I ref the game against Jazz House. They only played with nine, with four ladies. So, as you know, they lost by 20-6 or something like that. So it was good they had a full squad there, and a good win against the Ringers, yeah.
Yeah, they definitely have some of the best offensive players. Like, some of those guys can just kick so well.
Pat.
That's how you win games.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and if you can get on and make the other team make you, you know, make them get the outs, then you're going to turn, especially in these high-scoring affairs, that's going to turn a game right on its head. And with that, you know, major props, too, to Brooks as well. I'm sure he's listening, but just to go out and to continue this season and even in a loss to be looking forward to the playoffs and knowing what's coming next, like, just a credit to the team, to the captaincy, and to their future in the KVKL as well. YSC2 at 7 p.m., Jazz House 11, Bald Beavers 4. Jazz House, nice bunt by Jazz, catcher bottom of the second. Garnett double, one run scored in the top of the fourth. Hunter fingertip catch in the bottom of the fifth. Bald Beavers, great defense, top of six. Nick high infield fly double, one run scored in the bottom of the sixth.
Rick, you got something for us, right?
Yeah. And once again, it was a fun game. Andrea is a real joy to be around. The captain of Bald Beavers, is that her? Andrea? Is that right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, she's a joy to be around. And it was fun. And the Jazz House is finally getting hot at the right time, if you can say. You know, a team that still makes 12 errors a game is hot. And it was a great win for us, and we're looking forward to playing in the tournament.
Yeah, and not to discredit the Beavers at all, but looking at the scorecard, some excellent defense by the Jazz. I mean, I've ref two of your games this year very early in the season, and you can definitely tell, like, you know, we all know Rick is very good at recruiting, and he's always going to have athletes. But man, all the males, all the females, everyone on that team has a complete 180 from the beginning of the season with that early Thursday night game of the week loss to where you guys are now.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see what you guys are going to put together in the playoffs.
You guys have loved to give me a hard time about the youth of my team every year. You know, you'd be like, oh, do they have their baby teeth still? You know, and stuff like that.
Can they rent a car? I always say, can they rent a car?
And my team, yeah, can they rent a car? Yeah. And my team's age this year, there's nobody over 25. Most of them are 21, 22, 23, like that. Yeah. But like you said, there's some terrific athletes on the team. Really, really good. Yeah.
Yeah. So, some real good athletes. And I don't know if it's, you know, joking or jealousy. I think probably the latter, especially when you look at some of the conglomerate ages of our franchises.
Uh-huh.
YSC 3 at 5 p.m., Johnny 16, the Rick Rollers 0. Johnny's smart, sneaky base running by Austin Myers. Johnny's good, carry great. The video confirms. Megan 2 RKI triple in the 8th. Rick Rollers, lots of speed and talent. They'll figure out the situational stuff. Great catch and center by Malloy. George is fun and has a great spirit, always on brace, and great at all positions.
Are they talking about kickball there, or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's there's more than I've played with George. Unfortunately, not in the manner we're discussing, but I would guarantee it's probably both manners.
I can tell you, I did not call the shutout. So I mean, this is, I thought they were in trouble.
I don't think anyone would have expected that.
No, I didn't. No, no.
I don't necessarily know that 16-0 is what I was thinking. I don't even think that spreads more along the lines.
Yeah.
You know, the infamous saying, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. I think that's what happened here. I think, I don't know the details, but I've heard rumors that Johnny's was not happy with how the charity tournament game played out. I think there was maybe like some people on Rick Rollers that felt overconfident because they only lost by a certain amount.
Lost in the walk-off in the first round.
They maybe felt a little overconfident and this, that, and the other. And so I think the dogs were never really called off in this game. But then secondly, too, I know we've talked about it on this podcast, but Matt at one point in the season was calling for Global, who's going to probably be the one seed in the playoffs. So I think what it really came to was like it was a come to Jesus moment on behalf of the league for Rick Rollers, which I think is good for them.
Yeah,
my worry is, as someone that was watching that game, was there was a lot of yelling and screaming at each other that was happening out of their dugout while they were getting their ass kicked, which is not good for the long-term future of that team. But I'll say this. I've said it. I said it after they lost the D-holes. I said it before they beat Young Spine, and I'll say it here again. That team is like top 7 talent-wise. Like it's not close. They're missing leadership. They're missing knowledge. Neither of those is really teachable. It's all learnable. And I think if the leadership of that team figures out how to be honest with everyone on the team about their playing time, figures out how to teach everyone to learn from their mistakes, I think that team, like, you know, I don't know their playoff seed, and we'll get to that, obviously, but, like, whoever has to play them in the second round, like, assuming they win their first game, is, like, going to have their hands full. And so that's one of those situations where I think if they can figure things out, it'll be a good one there. So that's all I've said.
Yeah, and only the 5th inning, Johnny's did not put a run on the board. Only the 5th. But, I mean, and I think the positive for the Rollers take out of this is, you know, we all know that they've got a fast, high-powered offense. It's frustrating. I watched back our game. It's frustrating watching how many and seeing how many base runners are left on. But just looking through the score sheet, like, there were a lot of obtainable runs that they left out there. So at least they've got some really good spots to grow heading into the tournament, and maybe this also serves as kind of not even a wake-up call, just a call to arms that maybe they realize they're as good as everyone says they are, and they start playing that way for 9 innings.
Right, and they'll get treated that way by other teams too, you know, a real threat by, you know, a top three team, top five team for sure. So
yeah, and it's also a testament knowing that Johnny's didn't go out and take this as a bye.
Yeah,
you know, and get your teeth kicked in, whether it was residual holdout feelings from the preseason or whatever, calling for certain teams. It's a clear signifier that those top teams hear you, see you, and feel you. So keep doing what you're doing. Put it all together. Make a run. YSC3 at 7 p.m. Global Cafe 18, Red Legs 3. Jordan Miller catches laser beam from Isaac. Run rule by Global. They pretty good.
So YSC3, my God, that was a bloodbath field. My God.
That's 2 weeks in a row, though, that the Red Legs have been on the receiving end.
23-3, game of the week at Sure Factory in 19-3. Nick was caught. He was at the Rolling Stones concerts. Yeah.
Oof.
Well, apparently to him it is. I don't know.
I mean, their halftime Super Bowl show was good 17 years ago, so definitely not a show I'd miss.
They cannot be feeling super good going into this tournament after getting those two losses at the end of the regular season. But
no way. Hopefully it's the same sort of like fire under their ass that Rick Rollers is hopefully feeling from their game last week too. But yeah, that's a tough 2 weeks to come into at this point, and they can't be feeling like they're playing up to what they're capable of. I mean, I watched that game on Thank You Marcus, and I think there were three outs that happened at home plate because basically they forgot that Global has insane arms and will get the ball in from the outfield in a second. Like, I think one of the strengths in general in this game is knowing who you're playing and knowing what you're up against. And you got to remember that, like, yeah, okay, we run the bases crazy, but like they throw crazier than we do. So they got a hard lesson handed to them there.
And on that one too, looking over the scorecard, one inning, the third, where Global did not put up a run, looks like three innings for the Red Legs with 1-2-3 innings. So just not able to get those base runners on or making good decisions when they did have them is really going to shoot yourself in the foot, especially against a team like Global, who I agree with the sentiments that probably going to be the number one seed heading into the tournament. Yeah. So great end of the season for them as well.
Yeah, they looked, I mean, truly automatic. I mean, it was a well-oiled machine in that game. So
YSC4 at 5 p.m., Young Spine 9, Honey Badgers 10. Young Spine, Owen had a great double play in the fifth. Tyler tied the game with a great kick in the seventh. Honey Badgers, Dustin with a great line drive over center fielder in the first. They controlled the first half of the game, and then Spine took over. In the ninth inning, the Honey Badgers pulled it off with a walk-off. I ref this game, and it never really felt like it was a close game. You could tell that it was back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those games where you watched it, and the score was secondary. What the kicking, the fielding, the coaching, the adjustments, it was something that I implore everyone to watch the replay online, because it was a great game defensively and offensively as well. And in a 10-9 game where there are so few errors, it's something that I think everyone should watch, and you could definitely learn a lot from it. Alex, you were there with me.
I mean, you covered everything that I was going to cover, which was watch the replay of this game. It's a fantastic, it's one of the best games that's been recorded this season. I will say that the Badgers ran the bunt block with their normal shortstop, Dustin. They made a conscious effort to try and shut down any small game that Young Spine had. And in parts of the game, it cost them later, which is how Young Spine stayed in this game. When they were attacking the shortstop and attacking the rover position. That was, part of the internal game chess match.
But they were all kind of moving around their positions, huh? They all didn't really stay in one spot.
The Badgers stayed in one spot. They didn't move people around. Young Spine a little bit did. Like Ray Lyle's hurt, so they had him out in right field. They didn't have their normal first base. Anthony had to play first base for them.
Right. Leal was gone.
Yeah, he's just in right field.
He played. He was in right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. So Young Spine had a little bit of difficulty on their defensive side, just playing a little bit out of position. But they still played fantastic with what they had. So.
They're a good team. Both those teams are great teams, and they have great people on them, and they're always fun to watch, regardless of who they're playing. So.
Yeah, and if there's like any team that I would recommend watching when they're losing, it's the Badgers. I mean, making a name for themselves in years past on just clawing back or clawing out to an early lead and never looking back. But knowing the turnaround in that seventh inning and seeing how it would affect 90% of the teams in the league, and instead seeing Kenny lock it down, bring everyone together, tell them exactly what they needed to do, and then they went out and executed it almost to perfection. A three-run turnaround in the late innings seemed like nothing for them, and it seems like nearly impossible for a majority of the league.
It really seemed like there were several score changes, or lead changes, in this game, right? Yeah. It definitely seemed like every time that Badgers got down, their next at-bat, they took that lead back. And I know they held on to it for a couple of innings. Is that right?
Yeah. Five lead changes, six total through the game, and the Badgers led, until the seventh inning.
Yeah. So they just always came out and responded.
Yeah.
And I mean, every inning, that's huge.
Yeah.
It's really hard to manufacture runs every inning after inning, especially against a team like Youngspine.
Yeah.
And you know, the funny thing is with the Honey Badgers, they've had a really tough season. They have a really, really tough schedule, the Honey Badgers. There's like these really big losses against like big teams. There's like, it's been kind of tough for them. I know they had a win against JD Shift. That's right. But like,
yeah.
So if anybody needed this win, I know Youngspine, could kind of been like dry these past few weeks. Anybody needed a win like this, it was the Honey Badgers. Alex?
Yeah, I mean, that type of schedule that like the Badgers, the Harpies, our team all played this season, where we're playing the top teams, you can see, the beginning of the season sucked. But at the end of the season, it's that, iron sharpens iron situation.
Yep.
It's we're all forged in watching and playing against the top athletes and the top players in this league. So the fact that Badgers was able to come out and drop three in the final inning, I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
They hit the right spot of their lineup with being able to put those runs up.
Yeah. And they're fast.
Yeah. Yeah, they just take bases.
They take their team name to life.
They're one of those teams I hope, and like D-Holes too, but one of the teams that I hope the board really takes into consideration that strength of schedule,
Yeah.
Obviously, record is one thing, but when you're playing, top caliber teams and, winning in by or
Johnny's
Post House by a small margin.
Yeah, Johnny's Post House Shirt Factory to start the season for us.
Yeah. That's tough, man.
YSC4 at 7 p.m. D-Hole 6, Cyport CBK 4. D-Holes, Hammon scratch in the third with a pulled quad. Aerial clutch kick in the top of the eighth. Failure to tag, not a force. Let's talk about it. We talked about it online. I'm going to skip over that note. We'll revisit that online. That's a reffing thing. I don't want to waste some time on reffing tonight. Cyport, scratch Kevin in the bottom of the sixth. Michael double plays back-to-back for D-Holes. D, great kick, better AJ catch in the top of the ninth. Pitch runner for Sean in the bottom of the ninth. Hammon, you want to lead us off?
Yeah. So, elephant in the room. Yeah, my quad's kind of fucked. I'm done for playoffs. I'm out. Unless there's rainouts and we get to a championship, there's no way that I'm healing in time for that. But for the team did very well in my absence. It's difficult when anybody goes down on your team. It's an emotional drain. You have to put people in different places. We had to adjust our defense. We had Ariel running catch. It's not that he hasn't done it before. It's just he hasn't done it at this level. With the on the fly and the teams that we play against historically, for many years, he hasn't had to do it. So he did great at catcher. He had a pop up. He had a put out at home. Several put outs at first. Bickle was 4 for 4 with two runs scored again. Aries' only kick that she got on base was a double, which was great for us. Amber, I can't say enough great things about her in general, but she was a fucking rock star.
Aries the first baseman.
And
D-Holst?
Yeah,
she's so good.
Yeah, Aries a fucking fantastic first baseman. Yep. And Cedric just whipping her the ball like every single time. We just keep coming straight to her all the time.
She's really letting the girls play on that first base. Like, yeah. She's a freaking rock star.
There's only slightly better cheat codes of having a lady first baseman that can catch and has range and has size, can catch everything that comes at her. Okay. It's a great thing for a defense. Amber, she basically had the go-ahead run that allowed us to win the game with Sam giving us the extra padding. You know, I want to give credit to Corey for doing a great job at pitcher all season. He's a brand new player to our league. He's got circuit knowledge, but it's not KBKL knowledge. That dude's been great all season since we put him at pitcher, and just you can see it clicking for him throughout more and more games and more reps. And I'm really proud of how he's come along. And then AJ happened to drop into shortstop, where he's always our left fielder. He made some fucking remarkable catches against you guys' kicking, just skying up and catching him. Just like Bryson did. Where the hell Bryson went? Bryson moved to shortstop in the game and made some remarkable catches, too. The whole game was fun. It was intense. It was tight. It's a game that I'd love to play when everybody... I told Bryson on the side, I'd love to play it when everybody's not injured. You guys shouldn't hang your head for anything. It was a great game. You guys played great for everything that had been going on all season long. Your injuries piling up a little bit and just circumstances lining up against you at the beginning of the game and at the end of the game for you with your calf, leg, whatever the fuck happened. So it was fun. I had a lot of fun.
Yeah. I thought it was a fun matchup. The injuries did pile up. Marcus, Kevin, myself. No excuse. You're never going to hear me blame injuries. You're never going to hear me blame referees. You're never going to hear me blame the shooter who missed Trump and got our left fielder. Those are all lame excuses, and you'd never hear me say that. I'll cede the floor. I mean, there was a lot of positives to take out.
Your left fielder got hurt. What happened to your left fielder?
He got snipered.
For real?
And it led to two runs. Yeah.
Over his head?
Yeah.
Happens.
Yeah. Dover, take it away.
Speaker.
I'm not going to drone on about our game. I don't...
Well, I'm not here to talk about the game.
Your voice.
Alex said everything we needed to hear. I'm here to talk about the heart and soul of our team. And that, for years, has been Alex and Megan Haman as a duo. I know as a fact every person on this team is sick thinking about the fact that Alex has a case of the bad leg, and he's not going to be able to play in the tournament, probably. And that's his favorite thing in the world. It might be one of the most important things in the world to him. And I'm only here to make sure you understand how important you are to us, my man. Thank you.
And you're a good rep.
I don't know how to follow that, to be honest with
bring
you.
Bring us down.
I'll go real quick here.
Very tearjerker, Bryson. Yeah, tearjerker.
I mean, yeah, like Ahmed said, like, I wish we could play that game without the Trump missed bullet hitting my left fielder in the first inning and Haman not getting hurt and Marcus not getting hurt. But the other day, I mean, there's a reason why they call themselves the gatekeepers at the top, and, like, they just don't fucking make a bunch of stupid mistakes. And, like, not to make it, like, every single run they scored came off of an error on our end, and they punished us for every fucking mistake we made. And at the end of the day, like, I didn't sleep till like 4:30 in the morning Sunday night because of it. And there's things to learn, but like, for me, I'm glad we fucking lost, because If we didn't lose to them, we were going to lose the first game of the Twain. I'll tell you that right now. We were 1,000% going to lose the first good team we played if we would have beaten them. So it's good that we lost to them. A lot of learning opportunities. And to toot my own horn for a second, it's really good to remember that I still am fucking elite of the sport. So that's all I
gotta
say.
I watched you. You played good.
You did, yeah.
You played good, Bryson.
That diving
those,
catch.
No, because he was like reaching up like 8 feet tall to get those, some of those balls. So
diving, jumping. Sean, you've got a lady you play in the outfield too on your team, yeah?
We do.
What's her
that's
name?
Katie Marcus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
She's great. She's great.
We interchange between.
I didn't know that was
typically
her.
Our outfield consists of her and Haley.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's great. Yeah.
She was. I was very impressed with her at y'all's game of the week. So.
Indeed. Like
props
I can't say enough about our ladies. I've tried to beat my chest about it all year. I still think and will die on the hill that we've got some of the best ladies in the league.
It makes a difference.
The only takeaway I had from the game personally is it is the first time I've ever gone 3-for-3 and felt like I've let my team down. So hats off to the D-holes. They are who we thought they were.
You're quick.
Yeah.
I haven't got to see you play much, but like you were running to first base. I was like, okay, Sean.
I have few things left. That's one of them. Not hair.
I will jump in real quick just because I tell everybody on my team this and they laugh, but anybody who tries it always recognizes the results. If you have muscle injuries, do an Epsom salt bath soak. I swear to God, it will change your fucking life. That's all.
And stretch. You'll run faster.
YSC5 at 5 p.m. Post House 17, Love Garden 9. Post House, Simon, 3-run home run in the second. Over the fence.
Horse.
Outs on double play in the third. Ricky, 2 RKI double in the eighth. Richard, triple in the ninth. Love Garden, Eric, triple in the first. Spencer in the seventh. Random commentator says best dancing refs. Jess, big boot in the ninth for an RKI.
How was your dancing, Derek?
Dad bod.
I don't want to toot my own horn, but I might have been that dancing ref. No, this is a very good game. Your notes pretty much covered it all. There was nothing. It was Post House being very clinical, Love Garden trying to keep up. The only thing of note I have to say is surprisingly no one mentioned it. There was two separate collisions.
Yes.
At first base. One was on Love Garden's. Z was following the pitch behind the runner's lane behind first base and collided with, sadly on the worst end of it, collided with Richard. Z got hit in the ribs. And then on the other side, Ricky was caught watching a play out in the field and kind of drifted into Love Garden running to second base.
Oh,
and they collided. And they tried to make a tag on him. I was like, no, go to two. Just being said, pay attention, get out the base path. Yep. Everybody needs to be safe out there. But yeah, it was a great game and, I think it was kind of a backup to snuff for Post House.
Yeah, right where I think we all expected him to be. Very clinical win these last 3 weeks. I'd say not even the last 3 weeks, but after that game of the week, or not game of the week, but after the run rule loss, they've been a completely different beast.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Unfairly judged, where they were missing some players in that run rule.
Scholar,
but since then, man, Post House. Whew.
Here's Courtney.
I know Post House is missing Jake at their third baseman, but we were missing Skyler, Tyler, Brogan, and Walker. So we were missing four guys that normally play starting positions. So we did as best as we could in moving people around and playing the best of our abilities. I mean, yeah, we had some errors and stuff, but for what we had, I honestly was super happy with our team's performance, and we're ready for the playoffs, so.
You guys are good, and also Post House bunts so much. I love Post House, but goddamn, if you're missing your third, were you missing your third baseman? No, because that's
and
so
catcher.
Hard to
defend.
Third
baseman catcher, they're missing. Third baseman
catcher. Oh my god, catcher is even worse. Yeah, there's no way. Yeah, yeah. Defending Post House with no starting catcher is going to be tough.
I thought we were going down a fill hole there.
Oh, God.
YSC5 at 7 p.m. The Soda Jerks 15, Sod Squad 6. Sod, E6 in the first inning. Rex doing a nice job calling time. Kelly, nice kick to center in the bottom of the fourth. Chris paints the line with a kick in the fourth. E6 in the fifth. Hey, good job. Oh, I see who's taking these notes. I see who's taking these notes. Good job. E6 in the fifth. Derek playing better after switching eyewear. Soda Jerks. Series of errors by Sod in the sixth led to a rally by the Jerks. Beef Jerky energizes Adam.
What?
Jerking energizes Jerks. Jerks came out with a huge fielder's mitt, presumably to catch all of that jerk sauce. Derek?
What can I say? That sounds very self-explanatory.
Jerk the curtains back further, please.
First of all, I don't know nothing about baseball, so it took me a minute to figure out E6 is me.
No, that's shortstop.
Oh, yeah, I'm five, right?
You're five.
I'm flawless over here. Regardless, I thought it was about me. Ben said it was me. So I think Ben was wrong, technically. He probably should have put five down. Is it?
No, five to the third baseman. Six is shortstop.
Ah. Yeah.
I'm going to tell Gio you said all these bad things about her. Anyways, no, yeah. Sun was brutal. I had a couple easy, probably easier outs, and they just bounced off the hands. Anyways, I know there was a lot of competitive, like, Marky Magic. We try to give competitive games most of us. This was pure fun and pure nostalgia, playing with Adam Patterson and all the other old Balls Deep crew. We got together before the game, and we did an old-school Uzo shot from way back in the day when we were Mad Greek. Jess Ritten, she went to the All-Stars game, and they gave out, like, four-foot-tall baseball gloves, and our outfielders were playing an inning with those in them. Sadly, we didn't make any catches with it, but we had a blast. It was a good game. Sod Squad played us pretty close for like three innings, and then we changed our music up a little bit, got a little more upbeat in tempo, had a little rally, and then we just started putting on them. It was a fun, great game.
I'd just like to put out there that I think it is completely unfair that Bryson gets tagged for wearing gloves that were completely legal, and we're going to gloss over that you used a completely illegal glove in the outfield.
That's true. Not going to lie, when we were talking about it, I think I told Seth or Rex, I was like, to be fair, Bryson wears a glove, and we don't have any rules about any hardware at all, so I think this stands.
If you saw that glove, you would know it was not an advantage.
Yeah, no. A 16-pound glove.
Some may know my boy Ben is on the Sod Squad. Love that guy to death. I just want to say, I've given the board a shtick once or twice, but I just want to apologize because what Sod Squad has done the past 3 weeks had to make you guys seeding this tournament an absolute fucking nightmare. Because
indeed,
they beat the living shit out of Free State and then proceeded to lose to a team that Free State beat pretty handily and then get mollywopped by the Soda Jerks. And it's like, I say this, I respect the Sod Squad. I love Adam Patterson. But that team is running a fine line of, like, playing for fun and playing for good. And when they play for good, they beat Free State. And then they play for fun and they randomly lose games they shouldn't. They are a board nightmare. I think they should be the team that everybody hates. That's all I have to say.
No notes.
I think Sod Squad might be the new A-head. You just don't know what team's going to show up week to week and what to expect.
Yeah, I know that.
They're going to have awesome jerseys, though.
That makes total sense.
Here's Ben.
I just want to add real quick, and maybe it's because I haven't seen Jerks playing until this game, but, you know, we all know Josh is great, but he was fucking on point this game, hitting all the gas. Yeah, most of the runs that Jerk scored in the later innings were because of errors in the outfield, but Josh was just hitting all the spots. This is literally...
What's that?
No, he did not. He didn't kick great, though. Yeah. This is literally the first time I saw a one-legged man win an ass-kicking contest.
YSC 6 at 5 p.m., Free State 15, Red Lion 7. Red Lion, Aaron got ground rule triple, running two people to home, bottom of the eighth. Free State, back-to-back home runs. Aaron gets two RKIs and an in-the-park homers. Ian has a solo dolo homer, all that in the top of the eighth. What an electric eighth inning. Jesus.
Yeah.
Seth came pretty close to beating their center fielder, too. And He's still got that speed. He had a chance at that home run if he'd have burned it, but they caught him. So that was that. That set down our potential three home run series.
Seth texted me Monday morning and said Red Lion was the easiest win of the season.
No, he didn't. No. Here comes Ben with rebuttal.
I second what Seth said.
Seth's here.
There's Seth.
I just want to throw a quick, since I don't have anything to say about my team, I want to throw a quick shout out to Junior, because he was like committed to being a good scorekeeper here.
He was
asking everybody.
He really was. Up to
bat.
Yeah.
He was double checking to make sure everybody had fielded.
He was.
Yeah, all the refs did a great job, which I think probably helped. That and the fact that we got hosed helped keep this thing civil.
Here, Seth.
Commenting on the easiest win of the year.
I wasn't going to speak on this, but I text Bryson more than I text my wife, but I did not text him that. I didn't say shit about Red Lion.
Well, I got... some history, obviously. I think you all know that collectively between Red Lion and Free State, there's hundreds of years between us and our players, and many, many years of a really great rivalry. It felt really good to come out and get a jump on them and hold on to it throughout the entire game. But let the record show that they still have us overall in terms of wins. I hope that we can all keep playing until we're old and decrepit, until the Growlers can come around and take that series back.
There you go.
I think four years, you guys will age them out. 4 years, yeah. I think you got it back. YSC 6 at 7 p.m., the KBC Tropics 14, the Goose 15.
Walk-off win.
I knew we were going to have the longest notes on this page.
KBC, good catch by Drennan at first and the second in the park home run by Reese in the fourth with two on base. Two good outs by Alex in the sixth. Good job by KBC not getting down on themselves early and battling back. Good catch by Jaron in right field in the eighth. Got out on a triple play in the ninth by not tagging up.
Oh,
that sounds
allegedly
like base coaching running errors.
No. Here's the problem.
Ghosts. Good play by Colt in the first to throw the runner out at third. Great kick, Jasmine, in the first. Ground rule triple by Corbin in the second with bases loaded.
Yep.
Good play by Corbin and Colt in the third to get Ryan out at home. Dumb base running by Colton and Corbin in the fifth.
Yep.
Should have been bases loaded, nobody out. Great catches by Junior, per usual. Who'd he pay to write that?
Hold on. Yeah, who did write this?
I didn't write that.
Corbin, grand slam in the seventh, and a walk-off win for the Goose in the ninth.
By the way,
here's the
thing about the grand slam that happened. For those kids who don't know, that home run was a Jose Canseco. In case you don't know what it is, Jose Canseco let a ball hit his head in right field, like, over the wall for a home run. Unfortunately, he was over there, yeah. Unfortunately, left fielder tried to go for that ball, hit his hands, and went over left field fence for a grand slam home run. This is the second time I've seen a home run in person. So, yeah. But Junior,
tell us about
Go ahead, Junior.
Walk-off win for the Ghosts.
All I got to say is that Tropics used to be our practice team, and they were great last year and everything like that.
Close to the mic, Junior.
Now what?
Huh? He said...
Junior, closer to the mic.
Closer
to the mic.
Oh, my bad. But the defense was a little hesitant on a lot of plays, and you guys made a lot of errors. Your offense really caught my eye, for real. You guys have a lot of good kickers. If you guys can get about two to three more bunters and rework that lineup, honestly, you guys would be great. Other than that, Tropics are awesome. I love you guys.
Love you too, Junior.
Did you say we're hesitant on offense? Yeah. Defense.
Go ahead, Kelly.
So I got to see the first part of this game, and I was shocked at the score at the end. But I didn't see the end of this game, but it says a lot that when I left the field, I think it was like Ghosts were ahead by eight in like the second inning or something. And the fact that it was a one-point game, and it looks like, based on the score sheets, it kind of went back and forth towards the end.
From the fifth on, it was one-run game.
Yeah, ability to like stay in the game and keep fighting for that win. So I know it wasn't the outcome they wanted, but I think That's something to note, because I left going, I was not expecting it to be that big of a blowout, and then to turn around at the end and see it was a walk-off win for Ghost was impressive that Tropics came back.
Kelly, can you do me a favor? When about 6:15 on Sunday, I said something to you and Mikey and Ryan and Alex. Do you remember what I said about what you needed to do against the Ghosts?
Fuck, I so wish.
I said, do not let Corbin win them the game.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
I said, you put your entire team in the outfield. I said, every fucking last one of them.
I'm so sorry.
Sean, do me a favor. Tell me who had 8 fucking RKIs on Sunday.
8.
Corbin.
Corbin.
Corbin, yep. He did.
What are we doing?
He did. Yeah, so real quickly on Corbin, yeah, just he was definitely MVP of that game. He was awesome. Except for that dumb running mistake with Colt in the 5th inning, he was just honestly awesome. And real quick, before I go to Kelly real quick, the reason why there was that triple play in the 8th inning, because the kicker should have bunted. He panicked because someone came his bunt block in a first base side. He panicked and kicked. He kicked a foul out to the first base side, and then the runner from first base, I don't know why, took off a second, and then the runner second took off the third, thus the triple play.
That
so
sounds
the kicker panicked.
Indeed, a good old-fashioned coach's triple play.
The kicker panicked and kicked and shouldn't have kicked. Go ahead, Kelly.
Because their coach did not prepare them.
Psychological mind games.
Yeah.
We fought our asses off for each and every single run.
We did, yeah.
And the Ghosts, they surprised me. They got on base. There would be people up to kick, and I'd be like, oh, easy out. And then they'd get some fucking magical kick to get them to second. So I was really impressed with their offense. However, like, they got people on, and then Corbin would just walk up and get them home. Like, we fought our asses off for all 14 of our runs. Drennan and Jaron are fucking rock stars. Jaron made some good ass catches in the
right
outfield. One in the 8th. We were up 1 going into the 9th. Jaron laid out for an awesome catch.
Yep.
Drennan went to first base like 2 weeks ago after Mikey hurt his knee and has just been making hero plays at first base. So, honestly, as soon as we get all our ducks in a row, they're kind of zigzag right now. We are going to be a force to reckon with. I want a rematch with Ghost. I think if Corbin's Cheerios or maybe just like a little stale Sunday morning, like maybe we would have had a better outcome. But I don't know. Oh, I learned that Corbin, that was his first home run of this year, and he scored 2 of them. So what the hell? Tropics just have bad luck, but I'm not worried. If we all stay together, we'll have a great season next year.
YSC7 at 5 p.m. The Corksuckers 8, R-Bar 9. Notes, Wes had a great bunt. Amber, take it away. You were there.
I was. I was there. So for us, my team first, I think, would want me to be like, R-Bar, let's fucking go. I'm not loud, sorry, but yeah. So this game was super competitive, and we have run-ruled the last few teams we've played. So to have a game that started out competitive right away, and Corksuckers were ahead, I think, the majority of the game. I think the third, we finally got ahead by 1, and then pulled it out at the end to get a walk-off. But I will say, Corksuckers, they have a lot of experience. When Ben and Clint are like third and catcher, it is a little intimidating. They will stop a lot of bunts because they're so tall and fast. So we had to change our approach playing to where it was like, okay, like bunting isn't working. And then R-Bar readjusted, had a lot of great place kicks. Ray on Corksuckers had a like in the park, tried to get a home run, got out right at the base, at the plate, and I just think overall this was a great win for us. I know there were some calls that went back and forth on different plays, but we had a good time playing Corksuckers. Hopefully they did us as well. Thank you.
I don't want to be incorrect, but a 2-run walk-off game-winning double from Gabby. Is that...
Say what?
A 2-run walk-off game-winning double from Gabby?
Yeah. It was beautiful.
Wow, really? Wow.
That's a great win.
I will say, I know some of you, she did break her her finger. When she caught it, she did catch a line drive, and it was out. She's got it looked at, healing. But, yeah. So
glad to hear she's okay.
Jesus.
Yeah, she is okay. Well, as you can be.
Jesus.
YSC 7 at 7 p.m., late fees 20, the Scoonies 14. Scoonies, Alex, triple RKI, bottom in the eighth, bottom three, Mickey strikes out. Alex at hey, Mickey, now I work with Mickey, he's now at my store, so I'm just going to let him know, I know he'll be here later tonight, he now has to buy beer for the team next week, so I'll make sure that that my time gets approved and that check comes by Thursday.
Oh, dear.
Back to Alex at third, popped up to pitcher for the third out and the top of the ninth. Awesome diving pop out from second base to center field. Double played it in the fourth. Huge three RKI home run in the bottom of the fifth by Thaddeus. Sadly tagged out. Well, on a big throw from right field. That's not a home run then. That's a three RKI triple, scorekeeper. Flipped. Late fees. Center fielder sliding catch in the first, like Ronaldo. Not touching that one. Huge error-filled home run scoring in the fourth and the fifth by Kale.
20 points late fees. Let's go.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, the late fees have been... they had a rough go with their schedule. That's a good question. Let's look at Neff.
Yeah, Neff did, yeah.
Throwing it out there. Neff was once again absent.
I was going to say, he's not on the list. Once again absent.
Neff was busy. He was drafting an email to Bryson.
Or maybe he also went to Rolling Stones concert. I don't know.
Pointing out his absenteeism.
Sounds kind of like a slugfest, honestly.
Yeah, and I think it was a really good matchup. You know, credit to the board for a lot of good matchups this week. Great job to those guys, not me. The Scoonies have turned it around from the first five. I mean, the last couple weeks may not reflect in the win-loss column, but seeing what we and how we were talking about in weeks one through six, to see them coming back here, I think they're going to be a very strong competitor for that boot this year.
Yeah, as I say that, like, the Scoonies, I saw that when I ref the games as Midnight Tokers week eight, that, you know, they had the lead majority of the game against the Tokers before they allowed that six runs. So I agree with you. This is a bit different than a Scoonies team. I know, you know, six run loss to Leafy's a lot, but
I think they picked up a couple new players at the end of the season too.
Yeah.
Some couple athletes, so yeah. that'll be good for them.
Yeah, just finding their footing and they're finally getting along. So I really enjoy seeing it.
And get well soon, Donnelly, with a broken hand. So. Why are you looking like that?
I'm just trying to contain my giggling.
Leave his Sean name alone. That's for his phone.
Never mind.
Yeah, no W, I know.
YSC 8 at 5 p.m., Sacred Sword 7, JDE Shift, hashtag Drake Shift 11. Sacred Sword were a class act all game. All is capitalized. That's the only note on them. John Denver experienced shift, hashtag drink shift. Good place kicking by both teams. Josh overran second and tripped and laid there until he was tagged. And in parentheses, I get it, bro.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I'm upset to see, like, Sacred Sword being, you know, like the note saying they're a class act, because I kind of liked their, you know... Yeah, taking on the villains of the league, but at the same time, I don't want to put any real hate their way because they are a great team, and they, I think, are one team that has gotten tremendously better week over week. They're a team I'm really excited to see where the hell they land in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're gonna have some good matchups, and also just for what it's worth. At the celebrity game, at the All-Star game, the entire outfield laid down when Jenny Finch came in to pitch. So,
yep.
Just throwing that out there.
Yep. Because Jenny Finch, she's fantastic.
Because Jenny Finch.
Yeah,
right.
She's great.
YSC 8 at 7 p.m., Recess Rejects 13, Empire 25. Great kicking, Keyshawn, 5 runs scored. Empire kicked through the lineup, not only in the fourth, but also in the seventh. Brant, take it away,
hit it,
buddy.
Brant.
So Corksuckers, our bar, fantastic refs. I'm going to get that out of the way right out of the gates. Every time something came down to talk about, they talked about it. It had an explanation for just about everything. They're awesome. I would recommend 10 out of 10 times again. Game highlights. Kate's a fucking badass. I don't know if you guys know that. Our second baseman, she probably has more RKIs than anyone on our team. Cole had a kick out. I didn't see it. I was actually throwing up behind our dugout because I had too much beer before the game. But he had a kick out apparently and got the guy and then pulled his hamstring. So we're kind of hoping for a quick recovery on that one. Rejects have a lot of really intense legs. They will abuse your outfield if you're not careful. So be really, really, really cautious of that one. Now the fun part is the degenerate podcast quotes from all the way back before the season started. This is from Kenny. That's got to be the worst fucking schedule ever. Under.
He did say that.
He did say that. Yeah, oh, I listened to it like right before I came down here because I was going to get this right. Like, if you want, go ahead. Ben, under with a bullet. Cougar, the wins I see are Rockets, which did not happen, late fees, ringers, bald beavers. I'm going under.
I did say that is true.
Sean did not declare it live, or at least did not hear it. But what he did say is, I'm here to motivate, and I'm here to raise funds. So for the degenerates, because we got $5, or five wins, I'm going to donate $5 in each of your names to the Special Olympics. So,
thank you, Brant.
Thank you. I appreciate what you guys do for us every year. Also, shout out to the board. You guys are amazing.
Brant, I just realized that you are a top contributor. I see you comment on Facebook, and I see you every Wednesday. And I just put the two and two together like a few days ago, and I was like, oh, my God, he comes every Wednesday, and he comments on Facebook, and I know him. And, yeah,
I need to get a new picture. I'm not here.
Yeah, I think that's it. I just didn't recognize you from your profile.
Thank you, Brant.
No, and congratulations on Empire on a fantastic season. Can't wait to see where they're ranked here for the playoffs because they've had an exceptional season. Even with one slight asterisk. But, you know, even looking at that, a run rule win in that forfeit. So what a turnaround. Not even turnaround. What a continued growth by Empire, a homegrown, home-built.
They had five wins last year, five wins this year.
Definitely driven team.
Yep.
So hats off to Brant, Anna, Rosa, everybody over on Empire for a fantastic season. Hobbs Park, 7 p.m. LFK Rays 10, the Rockets 6. LFK Rays, Dylan, two-run triple in the second. Good catch at third base by Jesse. Rockets, good catch at third by Tim. Slick running by Tim in the third. Great tip drill catch by Torrey and Riley in the fourth. Double play in the sixth. Pitcher and catcher throw out at first. Great catch at second by Riley in the eighth. Hell of a matchup on paper, hell of a matchup in person. I did not get to see this, but I'm very glad looking at the scorecard. I hope we get some comments on the game, maybe. But looking at the scorecard, when we were going in and discussing the marquee matchups, this is one that I know I pushed for heavily because I thought it would be a phenomenal test for the Rockets. And even in defeat, I think not only staying and playing with the Rays, but having the showing they did said a lot about the Rockets and their turnaround this year. And I'm just going to double down on it. This is not your mom or dad's Rockets. This is a team that's going to just keep getting better and better each and every game. And next year, and even in the tournament, they're going to be something really to watch out for.
Yeah.
I play with a lot of the people on the Rockets on my Friday team, and I can attest that Torrey and Riley are ballers, and they're only getting better and better, and I'm excited to see what the Rockets do.
Yeah.
I didn't get to watch this. I was also playing at 7, but I would have loved to watch this because it was like a good game.
Hobbs Park, 9:15, marquee matchup, game of the week, the Woost 10, Youngling 16. Everyone kicked and ran the bases well. I have to bow out on this one. I did not get to see the game, unfortunately. The best thing I heard all week is I had an emergency at work, and when Shipley talked to me, he said, wow, So even if I no longer work for Dillon's, I'm still getting fucked by them. So my deepest apologies for both teams not being able to broadcast.
Yeah, what the fuck?
But definitely, Jeff. I know, Mark, we've got it recorded. I'm pretty sure Marcus got it recorded.
He did, yeah.
So that's up. That'll be coming up. I wish I could have been there to call and watch this game because both teams are a lot of fun. Jeff, take it away with your thoughts.
Yeah, I would say, I'm biased, obviously, but Woost probably embodies the most fun wins out of any team. And Yuengling is right up there. We love Screamers. We love everybody in that area that we're playing with. Like, it's been such a fun season. They absolutely picked us apart in the first inning. They were just like that little triangle between our pitcher, our shortstop, and our third baseman. Their kickers were just nailing us. I think they scored 8 in the first inning. But I'm really proud of my team and how we rallied back. And the final score was 16-10, which means after one, we actually won the game 9-8. Obviously, that's not how games work, unfortunately. But after having that back-breaking inning, it was pretty cool for us to, you know, lock down on defense. And we've been kicking really well this year. Woost has had 7 out of our 10 games where we've kicked. We've had double-digit scoring, and that's huge after... I mean, the last few years for us really have been kind of weird. We've been floating in a weird gray area of, like, are we in the boot? Are we going to, you know, get knocked out in the second round of the plate? And I'm feeling really good about our chances this year. A little birdie told me that we might be actually seeing Yuengling's potentially in a rematch on the plate side of the brackets, and we'd love to see that and get a redemption at them. So, yeah.
That's good. And by the way, it's good to have 5 wins of this season, better than last year, though, Jeff.
Yeah.
And here's the former consort, Mr. Shipley. Let's see if anything to say about the game of the week win for Yuengling. Hi, David.
Hello. I got nothing to say.
Hello.
Oh, come on, David. That's it?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks to Woost. Great game. Appreciate it. Thanks to the board giving us another shot after we got washed out in week one. And I hope we entertained everybody. It was the last game of the week of the season, so I hope we put on a good show for everybody.
Yeah. You did.
Yeah.
I got to say, Dave, it's like, good on you guys. I know it was not as good as a win, only 4 wins, but at least that tougher schedule showed that you guys are, you know, hardened team, you know, from the previous season. So I know it's only 4 wins, but
half our starters.
Well, a tougher schedule than the previous season.
It
so
was. No
good.
Big deal.
It's good. Yeah. You know,
move on. We'll go on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do think this game would be a lot different on a regular sized field because a lot of the kicks are in the outfield and it just runs. So I do feel like putting you guys on, it'll be a fun game.
I got a lot of new outfielders, so they're still learning. But yeah, it's a fun game.
Yeah,
thanks for everybody. Yeah.
Well, as a fellow beer brand sponsored team, I have a lot of respect for you walking up here with a Yuengling in your hand. So,
oh, yeah.
Represent.
Shameless sponsor. Shameless plug. There you go.
Thank you.
So, ladies, any final thoughts you have on this podcast, your debut here, Lindsay, Kelly, Amber, anything you want to say?
Yeah, I just want to thank the board for all of their hard work this season. I know it's a thankless job, so let's all remember to actually say
Amen.
Thank you and appreciate them for all
thank
the work
you,
they
Lord.
Do for free.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And on top of that, I just want to say, too, I'm really excited to see what the middle of the middle, you know, 15, the middle 12 teams are going to look like in the playoffs here.
Yeah.
And obviously having a board of ladies up here, or a panel, I'm sorry, of ladies up here, I think it's really important to note, too, in my opinion, I think that one of the biggest game changers for the teams that are at that level, you know, whether you're at the top or the bottom or, you know, creeping into it from below, you know, having a team of core, strong, well-performing ladies is always going to elevate your team in a way that I think we all understand, but maybe we don't talk about quite enough. So, ladies, go out there and kick some ass this week.
Yes.
Amen. Kelly?
Well, that was very inspiring, but I just want to say that the Tropics kickers are really good. Thank you. Junior. First, I had it in my head. Junior for complimenting. I don't know where he went. But, no, the Tropics kickers are really good. I did want to say that. Ghost, your kickers are just as good. That reflects our runs. Anyways, good game. I love you all. Thank you for practicing. We had to ditch them on practice on Monday because we were all too sad about our loss, but we'll get back to y'all soon.
Sorry, Junior. Okay. And Amber.
Don't forget to thank your refs in the tournament. We'll be out there for a long time. It's going to be hot. And, that's all I got.
That's all you got.
Our bar.
I like that.
And Aaron Adams from Stillatrix. You got something for us?
Yes, the Cobb Valley Kickball Auction is coming up. It's going to be in September, I believe. And now's the perfect time to start collecting charity items.
Yep.
September 8th is a Sunday. If you want to know, one of the charity items is going to be this giant mitt that holds a kickball. It's going to be up for auction. So come to the charity auction and start asking for donations now, because we're never going to reach that $25,000 goal if you guys don't help us do the work.
How heavy is that mitt, Aaron? How heavy is it?
It is.
Oh, gosh. That is heavy. My word.
Probably, yeah.
Man, that's heavy for that. So,
Shout out to Jazz House, too. Thanks for hosting us tonight. Yep. Rick, appreciate you.
By the way, Jazz House is 926 and a half on Massachusetts Street. I don't know the phone number. Sorry. And here's Sean.
Nope, I'm just here to take us out. I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. The best panel of the year. In person, anyhow.
Yep.
Okay.
Big thank you to Lindsay Dieter, Kelly Schmick, and Amber Sidwell.
Thank you everybody that commented below my comment on Facebook today. You guys gave me the courage to get up here. You know who you are. I love you all. Thank you.
I love having you, Kelly. Absolutely. And you too, Lindsay and Amber. Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies. Thank you.
Don't forget, we will be live right back immediately before Cougar After Dark with the full release of the playoff schedule. With that being said, Cougar, get us out of here.
What happened?